And I don't know if you remember, I told you last week that we might cover two. We might cover the helmet and the sword. Man, did I not know how much I was going to get involved in this helmet and how much I went from, you know, normally I type it all out. I've been writing notes for days on here. And then I go back and then I got a sticky note on top of all the notes. I mean, that goes to show you, God will just give you a blessing when you think it's going to be, you know, kind of quick. But this is really good. Remember all the prayer requests we had out there. There's a lot of them out there. Virgie's family. If y'all want to, you can turn to Ephesians 6. We're only going to do a little bit in there, but we're going to be looking up some scripture tonight. So I guess I'm going to have to talk fast, and y'all are going to have to listen fast. Okay, the helmet of salvation. Ephesians 6:17. Just the very first part. Take the helmet of salvation. All right, flip to Isaiah 59:17. Guess I better flip too. Did y'all see me try to adjust my glasses? Ever since I had this cataract, or I poke myself and do all kinds and realize I got readers somewhere. I need to put them on.
6:17.
Yeah. 59:17. Everybody got it? Okay, now we read this before, but I want to make sure you understand that this is not talking about another person. It says, for he, and this is one thing that, you know, I have an issue with King James translation. They do not capitalize deity. And, you know, I really like to see deity capitalized, because when you got two he's in a verse, sometimes you'll get distracted as to which he we're talking about. But in this one, all the scripture before it is talking about Jehovah God. So that's the he. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. Now, it's hard to picture that Jehovah God would need a breastplate of righteousness, because he is righteousness and that he is who offers salvation. But I just wanted to reference that scripture right there to let you know that the helmet of salvation is talked about in several places. Now we're going to go to another. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5:8. We're going to get into the talk. We're going to do a lot of scripture tonight. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Let's get your pages. So wait a second. Okay, verse 8. But let us who are of the day. Now who would that be? Saved people. Children of the day, not children of night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Not righteousness, but faith and love. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. What did we say that hope was? A confident expectation. So for a helmet, we're going to put on salvation. Okay. Why, and I kept, this is one I thought, I don't know how I can relate to why a helmet would relate to salvation. I just couldn't get that in my head. But the Roman soldier's helmet, what do you think he wore it for? What did it protect?
His head.
His head. What's inside his head?
Brain.
His brain. Okay. How many of you are breathing? How many of you blink your eyes every now and then? Okay. Do you say, I need to breathe. I need to breathe. If your nose itches, do you have to say, I wonder what I need to do? Okay, I need to tell my hand to go up here and scratch my nose. That's your brain functioning. You don't even think about it. Your brain is your control center. It controls what happens in your body. So they needed their brain to be protected. So that's what the helmet was for. Let me put these back on so I can see. The Christian's helmet. All right, now, everything we're talking about is spiritual here. The Christian helmet, put it on our head. What does it protect? Now we're thinking spiritual.
Our thoughts.
Your what?
Thoughts.
What'd you say?
I was saying your mind.
Your mind. A lot of people, just like we talk about we want Jesus in our heart. Okay. The heart is an organ. It pumps blood. It keeps you alive. But the brain also tells that heart to beat. It controls that. So you don't think with your heart. You can't do that. You think with your mind. Now, we've got to separate brain and mind. Our brain is for our physical. Our mind is for spiritual. I just might as well leave these things on. The helmet of salvation, it refers to a mind that's controlled by God. Brain and mind. What's the difference? Okay. What the brain is to our body, the mind is to our soul. Okay. Satan, when he went to Eve, look at, this is the first confrontation. When Satan went to Eve, did he attack her physically? He didn't. What did he do?
He messed with her mind.
He made her doubt God's word. And then he also made her think, and the part that really, it says that in the day we eat of it, we shall die. And he said, you shall surely not die. So what was that he messed with? What did he give her that every one of us in here, he gives us?
Doubt.
There's a lot of kinds of doubt. You can doubt your salvation. You can doubt your worth about doing something. There's a lot of people in here probably could be teaching classes, could be singing in the choir, but you doubt your ability to do it. Satan has said, you can't carry a tune in a bucket. You do not need to be in that choir. But God has said, rejoice, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So a lot of times we think about doubt salvation, doubt this, doubt that. We doubt a lot of things. We doubt our capability to do something. We doubt our worth. You don't put that in your head. Nobody thinks, I'm just really not worth much. I just can't do anything for the Lord. That's not your thought. That is Satan's thought. And he's putting that in there because he wants to keep your mind off of God, and he wants to build strongholds in your mind. And you can say, well, what's a stronghold? A stronghold is defined as wanting to have predominance. He wants to have the authority or the power or the controlling influence over your life. These strongholds, and there's even scripture that tells us what we need to do with these strongholds, and we're going to look at them in a few minutes. When we get saved, our eternal destiny is sealed. When you get saved, a lot of people think, I got saved, my destiny's sealed, I'm going to heaven, I'm not going to hell. A lot of times it stops there. When, if I were to say to you, what does your salvation mean? Normally the first thought that comes into your mind, well, I'm going to heaven. My sins have been forgiven. I'm going to heaven. Our salvation should mean a whole lot more to us than that. Okay. And there's a difference. I got so blessed when I was reading all this stuff. I thought, yeah, I've been so dumb for a lot of years. I just didn't think about these things. There's a difference in having salvation and applying salvation. A lot of times we just have salvation. We think that's it. And especially when you hear, once saved, always saved. Once you hear that and you think, well, I'm good. So you'll coast along and you may backslide a little bit, but in your mind you're still thinking, well, I'm saved, once saved, always saved. That's having salvation. Applying salvation is a different thing. I'm not going to give you explanations because, like I said, I got to go fast. Salvation is about our identity. Once you've been saved and you've got on that helmet of salvation, which your mind is now going to be controlled by God, it defines who we are in Christ. Our mind is the spiritual expression of our brain. The brain and the mind occupy the same space, but it's two different things. Okay, Proverbs 23:7. You don't have to look this one up. I got it written down because most of you know it. And I changed a couple of words in here. I'm not being a heretic or anything like that, but this is a class of women. So 23:7, now think about this. This is your mind we're talking about. For as she thinketh in her heart, so is she. How many of you think things that you wanted to identify who you are? There's a lot of my thoughts and things that are in my mind. I do not want you to identify me as who I am. So, we got our helmet on. We got salvation. We've got salvation, having salvation. Now we're going to talk about applying our salvation. In Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Could you imagine having the mind of Christ? We will someday, but in this physical body. Got this helmet of salvation on. Here we're going to go. Romans 12:1-2. Well, I'm just going to read verse 2. Now let's go to Romans. I didn't write down the first one. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, this is where we want to focus. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? By the
renewing
of our mind. We've got to change how our mind works. The renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do we renew our minds? It's easy to say, read my Bible. And that helps. Think on those things. I didn't write that verse down, but I knew we were going to talk about it. It's what you think on. Now, I can tell you, if you watch the news, when you get up, you don't say, oh, that was so lovely. You don't. It'll mess your mind up. If you hear a lot of negative thoughts, your thoughts go negative. You don't have anything good in there. Romans 5:8-9. We're going to read 8 through 10. That's close by. I told you we have lots of scripture tonight. That's not the right one. That's my verse I got marked when I'm dealing with somebody about salvation. Okay, Romans 5:8-10. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified. Think of that word, justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled, think on that word, to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, verse 1 up there in the same chapter says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But now, when we get down here to 10, it says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Okay, so we're saved because we're reconciled, we're justified. Then this last part here could be a bit confusing. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We're getting into applying faith now. I mean, not faith, but salvation. We're growing. We're moving forward. Okay, I want to talk about justification. Justification is remission of our sin and absolution from guilt. All right, we've had our sins done. We've been absolution from our guilt, and our punishment has been met by somebody else. We're saved from wrath, and we are released from having to pay our own sin debt. Now, that's justified. We reconcile. Reconcile means brought into friendship from a state of enmity. Okay. Now, there's another word we're going to give, because a Christian needs to move. Why that bothers me, but it does. A Christian needs to move from justification to sanctification. The minute you get saved, you become a saint. But are you holy? Are you righteous? You've put on the righteousness, but that's God's righteousness. You have no righteousness on you. So we're on a journey. We got saving faith with justification, our having faith. Now we're going to move to applying faith with the sanctification. Well, how do we get there? How do we get from justification to sanctification? 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow. If you look at that verse in there, circle grow. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then here's a verse that a lot of people have issues with, because you need to think about it on this journey from justification to sanctification. Philippians 2:12b, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. A lot of people get confused at that. Well, I'm having to work for salvation. The scripture does not say work for your salvation. It says work out your salvation. You've got salvation. God wants us to do something with it once we get saved. Okay. Oh, and the Greek word, if I didn't have a thesaurus, I never would know all this stuff. But work in the Greek means digging for silver. When you're working out your salvation, you're digging for something precious. Okay, now see, this was my secondary note. I was on my last page and all this kind of came. Bible sanctification is a very basic idea, and it's very thorough of an ongoing work of grace. In the Old Testament, especially in Leviticus, the Holy Spirit stresses the importance of holiness in everyday life. Okay, you've been saved. We need to be holy. We need to grow. We need to move toward that sanctification. Now, like I said, once you're saved, you become a saint, and that's where sanctification word is used from. Okay, Peter quotes Leviticus 11:44, and y'all can open there, but this is what Peter quotes. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Let's look at Leviticus 11:44 and see the full extent of what it says. I forgot where Leviticus was. Sticking right in there. Anybody got that already?
I got it.
Read it.
For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any matter of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
Okay. Now, what two words did you say there that we're thinking about? He said, sanctify yourselves. Now, he's not doing it. But he says, sanctify yourselves and be holy. All right, that's the two things you need to think about. So you do have some work to do here for sanctification. Work out your salvation, not work for your salvation. Work out your salvation. Holiness is crucial. It is crucial for a true Christian walk. You can say, I'm a Christian. You come to church carrying a big old Bible and all that bunch of stuff. But if your life does not exhibit holiness, you're not honoring God. You're not living the way he wants you to live. Okay. All believers are set apart by the Holy Spirit. And that's what sanctification means. It means to be set apart. Okay. For a purpose. All believers are set apart by the Holy Spirit as soon as they believe. They become saints. That is positional sanctification. Your position in Christ is as a saint. Okay. Got to look at all my writing here to see what I'm talking about. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's a strong verse. He wants holiness there. Okay, but as saints, we should also be constantly, every day, if we're living for, we should grow a little bit more holy today than we were yesterday. Because what have we got around us as our core? truth. We're wearing God's righteousness, and we've got our shoes with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If we're truly doing this and aware of this and staying in the Word each day, we should get a little more holy and a little bit closer to the Lord. We should be growing more holy in our actual lifestyle. Okay. This, we're growing, we're moving toward that. This is progressive sanctification. Okay. The future or final sanctification that we will be delivered from is the presence of sin. Christ Himself is our sanctification. And sanctification is God's will for us. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Told y'all we was going to be looking at a lot of scripture. People with tablets and apps get there a whole lot quicker than apps. Phones, I meant. 1 Corinthians 4:3. You know what? You say, Thessalonians, I'm sorry. I got Corinthians going too. Thessalonians, yeah. Like I told you, I got a lot of scripture written down here. A lot of people say, I don't know what God's will is for my life. See anybody in here? Thessalonians. Yeah. You got to know what I mean and not what I say. A lot of people say, I don't know what God's will for my life is. He tells us in the Bible what His will is for us in many instances. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now, that's the second part there. He's listing a bunch of them. But His will is for us to become sanctified, and then we will abstain from not only that sin, from a lot of others. Okay. The great importance of being sanctified is clearly stated in Hebrews 12:14, and that's what I quoted earlier because I stuck it at the top of this here. Okay. Now here we are. How do we, you got that understood now? We got practical, progressive, and then I forget what the last one I told you was, but it's ultimate sanctification when we see Christ, and we'll go there. How do we defend against Satan's attacks to infiltrate our minds? Now, you quoted that scripture. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, think on these things. What are other ways?
Well, the Lord tells us in Psalms to hide His word in our heart, mm-hmm. that we might not sin against Him. Mm-hmm. So to hide His word means you need to know it.
Well, yeah.
To not just read it.
To know it.
But to know it. Like
to know it.
Yeah.
And the only way you're going to know is to dig for it.
Right.
It's to dig for it. But can you help if a thought comes in your mind that's not a godly thought? You can. There used to be preachers say all the time, you can't help it if a bird lights on your head, but you can't let him build a nest up there. So, but yeah, everybody has thoughts that are not holy thoughts, and they're not godly thoughts. And we had a preacher that came here to preach one time, and I didn't know him. I did not know who he was. I had never met him. So me being the good church member that I am, I went over to welcome him. And to tell you one reason, I didn't think he was a preacher because the suit didn't look like a preacher's suit. Okay, now I'm admitting I'm shallow at times. So I went over and I said, oh, so good to see you here to come visit with. He said, lady, I am the guest speaker. And my thought should have been, well, why? I can't wait to hear you. I said, well, Penrose on your nose. I mean, I was just really, I don't care to hear you. But I mean, that was not a good thought. And Satan put that in there. And I can tell you what, the whole time that preacher was preaching, I was sitting there thinking.
He was rude.
Yeah, you are so full of yourself. You know, and that was so, and I let it stay there. The next time he was going to preach here, I thought, I'm not going to hear him. You know, it was just, that was Satan. That's all it was. He put that thought in there. I had this impression of this person, and I was going to hold on to it. And James, I told James, I said, I'm not going to hear him. He said, yes, you are. So I came. He preached one of the best messages I think I'd ever heard. And I, and to show you, I still have these crazy thoughts. I thought, well, at least he didn't. I've got crazy suit on. So you think, when I'm talking about thoughts, you might think, well, that wasn't so bad. Those were not godly thoughts. That was a man of God. And I'm having humanly thoughts of prejudging him because of just, he didn't think I was a very nice lady welcoming him to come to our church. But what we can do is we can identify, and I'm going to call them toxic thoughts. There are toxic thoughts that can get in your head. And if you think about them, and the worst thing you can do is share them with a really good friend. Because that really good friend might say, I know exactly what you're talking about. I feel the same way. Well, this negativity went to this negativity and bred some negativity there. They're toxic thoughts. And most likely it will keep going because Satan is the one spreading it, and he's using you as a conduit to get everybody else to think that way. So identify toxic thought patterns, recognize them for what they were. And you know, when we were talking about confess, that's what you do immediately. God forgive me for that. I can't help, you know, my mind thinks this way. And so many times he knows we're human. And he knows that that's what Satan's doing. He knows he's putting them there. But it sure pleases him when immediately after you have that thought, if you can think, I'm sorry, God, that was not of you, that was of the devil, and help me to not do that. So, and then I just said the next one, confess. As soon as you know it, confess that thought. And that, if you confess that thought to God, then he knows it's there, and he will help you. He'll help you not think that thought again, because you've been forgiven. And then dismantle. Take your thoughts captive. Then renew your perspective and understanding through God's truth. If you go back and you say, what do you mean take your thoughts captive? If there was a way that you could take a thought and put it in a prison, put it over here somewhere so it won't come back again, but it's a constant effort that you're going to have to do. And you're going to have to realize, sometimes we don't realize a thought that we have. You can watch something on television and you can have a thought. You need to get that out. And sometimes we ought not even watch television, some of the things that we see on there. Salvation. We're doing pretty good here. We may get done a little bit early. I've got a scripture verse here, and I can't remember where I stuck it in. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Nope, we already read that one. I wish I was a little bit more organized right now, but like I told y'all, I have scratched out and wrote things here. Basically, somebody help me. Oh, I know, Ephesians 5, 26, 27, our very chapter that we're in. Now this, a lot of women don't like this chapter because it talks about what women are supposed to do and we're supposed to be submissive and all that bunch of stuff. But where we are here, the first part, I'm going to go ahead and read it because it's there. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now he's not talking about you as a person, he's talking about his church, which we all make up his church, that he wants, he gave himself to the church that he might sanctify it, get it where it needs to be, cleanse it with the washing of water. And did you know that lots of times when water is mentioned in scripture, it's a type of the Holy Spirit? With the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, present us as the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. we're going to sanctification. Justification to sanctification. So look at salvation this way. You get saved, and let's compare it to, you get this huge, big box. It's a gift that he gave you. Well, when you open the top of that box, there's all these other little boxes in there. Blessings from God, things to help you along the way so that you can, that your life can become more holy like him. And when you see him, you can be a sanctified, spotless Christian that he won't be ashamed to present to himself. So salvation is saved now, that's done, that's it. I'm just a Christian, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to sit on the pew, I'm going to go to church every time it's open, I'm going to sit on the pew, and I'm going to listen to the singing, I'm going to listen to the preacher, I'm going to read the Bible, and this is what I'm going to do every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Ultimate sanctification means that you are growing a little bit more holy and a little bit more holy. Scripture will come to your mind. Whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Quote some other scriptures here for me. What are some that you're going to grow on? There's going to come a time when you're going to, as you grow, have you ever noticed how older women dress a lot different than younger women? Is it because we're old? Or is it because we look at ourselves in the mirror and we say, this is a bit tight and snug, and this shows my lady parts way too good. If I bend over, since I can't bend from my knees, if I bend over, this back here. Now, I'm not fussing. I'm just saying, as you grow older in the Word, and as you serve God, you get into his word, and you see holiness in a whole different light than you do when you first get saved. God takes this off, that puts this here. They're going to say, well, older people don't have jobs, so older people have more time to read their Bibles. Older people have more time to pray. Now, it's just that, and it's not everybody, and I'm going to have to tell you, I should be a whole lot more holier than I am now. Because I'm getting real close to my promised age span. I mean, I'm not there yet, so I'm not going to be saying she's 70 already. I'm not, but I'm close. I'm getting close. I should be a whole lot more holy than I am now. I should be so ready to meet Jesus, were he to call me home, that I have nothing to be ashamed of. I should not have a fear of him coming back in the rapture and catching me unaware. Ladies, I about had a spell when I was going through this, not just because of what it said, because it showed me how far I may really be away from that ultimate sanctification that I meet him when the presence of sin is removed. I still have to deal with it here. I need to be a whole lot closer than I've been. Thank you, ladies. I hope y'all understand you're on a journey from justification to sanctification. Let's pray real quick. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you gave me a helmet of salvation. And I thank you, God, that as long as I keep that helmet on, Satan's attacks on my mind be far less. And Lord, I pray for each one of the ladies in this room. I pray pray, God, that they have on their helmets of salvation and that they'll realize they are on a journey toward that supreme sanctification when they see you and all sin is gone. Whatever burdens the ladies may have in their heart, what they're carrying, God, you know them, and I pray that you'll bless them. I pray that you'll bless them for coming and just let me talk about you to them, because it does my soul wonders. Give us safety as we go home. I pray, Lord, for each and every one of these ladies. I pray, God, that their lives will be enriched. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all.